Hello and welcome to the Ham Radio Crash Course Podcast. We're back again to talk about all the interesting things in ham radio. Without further ado, oh, and then, by the way, my wife's here. Without further ado, let's get started. So, Leia, with that opening, I already heard you laughing. So how are you doing this week? Oh, it's Christmas.
It's Christmas Day.
Christmas Day.
I saw this really funny TikTok of a guy who was very upset with his wife.
Okay.
Because his wife is white and he comes from a different cultural background. I don't know what it was exactly.
Okay. I mean, just saying white culturally could mean a lot of things.
Well, let me get to it.
Okay.
He's upset that it was Christmas Eve and she didn't have anything planned. No grand meal, no family get together, no, you know, present opening. And my family, Christmas Eve is the big deal. Everybody gets together on Christmas Eve, has the massive amount of food, everybody hangs out, and then after midnight, everybody starts opening presents by family.
Right.
Right? We obviously didn't get to do that this year. But then Christmas Day is spent recovering. It is a day of rest. Right? And so the wife goes, no, Christmas dinner is eaten on Christmas. You don't open any presents until Christmas morning.
Right.
This is like a solid.
This is a solid, like, I am this white people, by the way.
Yeah.
Or I was raised this way, yeah.
Well, because like if you're going to adhere to the Santa story, right? The parents need
what
your
presents?
Your butt
no presents.
Asleep.
That's right.
As early as possible.
Right.
So that all of the magic can be set up at night.
Right, of
course. So you can't be having a party.
You can't be staying up past midnight.
Yeah, exactly.
Bunch of drunken parents trying to assemble presents under the tree, trying to build a bike at 2 a.m.
And it was the first time I realized that there is this big dichotomy between like what I would consider, I don't know, maybe not all white people, maybe like white Americans.
Yeah.
Versus non-white American.
Well, my aunt's Catholic. She would go to midnight mass. That's a thing. That's Christmas Eve,
that's
right?
True.
So, yeah, there's all kinds of different dichotomies in there. And largely, I assume a lot of them, particularly for white people, are religious-based for whatever traditions they follow. And other cultures, too. But if we're talking about, like, white people specifically.
Yeah.
I grew up with the, you go to bed early, and you wake up early, and you unwrap your stuff, and then you play with that stuff all day. And to be honest, the breakfast is the big meal. It's not the lunch or the dinner per se.
What about the Christmas prime rib?
Yeah, never did a prime rib. Never did anything like that.
Oh.
I mean, no, yeah, no. No, it was the breakfast. It was all about the breakfast.
Egg casserole.
Egg casserole. That's my mom's big thing. That's right.
And I was like, okay, I've got to make the egg casserole.
Yeah, you keep telling me that. And I don't even like it that much.
And then today you were like, I don't give a damn about the egg casserole.
I don't. Like, don't put yourself out to make that happen. Like, it's cool. We can work with what we got. No big deal. Yeah. I remember one year, I got really good at, like, my mom tried to, like, hide presents in the best way she could. I wouldn't like go hunt for presents, you know, like go find them hidden somewhere. I waited for her to wrap them because that's when I figured out what I was getting. I got so good at it. I knew the dimensions of the inner boxes. She started using larger and larger boxes and even put filler in to determine what was in the box. I got so good at it that I knew that what was in the box was a Super Nintendo cartridge. Just from the retail packaging of Super Nintendo and all that stuff. And I actually went so far as to wait for everybody to go to sleep.
Yes.
After she put the presents out.
Mm-hmm.
I woke up, took a box cutter, opened one side of the gift, cut the gift out, cut a hole, a square rectangular hole the size of a Super Nintendo cartridge, recovered said Super Nintendo cartridge, took it out of the wrapping. So I did have to discard the wrapping. This was a gamble that I was making at this particular juncture. Yeah. A conscious decision I made. And then I stayed up until 5 in the morning playing the video game. It was an RPG.
Okay.
It was Secret of Evermore on Super Nintendo.
Okay.
Then I wrapped it back up, put it back in the box, sealed it, kept the cardboard rectangle that I cut, used masking tape to affix it back in the best way possible. Like, I believe I actually used like a little piece of string that I had punched a hole through so that I could tape it from the inside. Because I didn't want to unwrap it, right? That would have been too many difficulties.
Yeah,
there.
Yeah.
And it was logistically
a problem. It's insane that you were able to do this, because your mom is like the mom that committed mm-hmm. to Santa. Mm-hmm. She had the
Santa
tracks.
Gift. My mom did two things. She did a wrapped presents. Mm-hmm. That was from mom and dad.
Okay.
And then she did the Santa presents, which were just displayed. They usually weren't wrapped.
Okay.
Or they had like a bow on it or something like
all right.
that. Santa brought that. And she always said, Santa doesn't have time to wrap all this stuff. He just drops it off. So that's how you know when mom bought you something, it's wrapped. And I, of course. So I got it all back in. And at the time, I was pretty involved in sleight of hand and magic. So I literally spent the whole opening of that gift holding the box in such a way that they couldn't see the side that I had modified. And then I quickly shoved the box out of the way after I recovered the game. And yes, that was how I spent one Christmas. Gosh, why are you so tired? You're 10. Why are there bags under your eyes?
Our kids are not at that deceptive or devious age yet.
It's not deceptive. I didn't deceive anybody.
That is literally what you did.
Oh, I guess I did when I unwrapped it. Yeah, but I mean, like, that was...
And then to hide it.
The hiding.
Deceptive.
Yes. Yeah, okay, that is deceptive. Yes, you got me on that one.
But Edison was asking me, like, repeatedly to open presents, and I was like, bud, you gotta use your patience skills. You can't...
Oh, yeah, they were bugging the crap out of us.
And it's really funny, because I was like, okay, well, if you ask again... then you lose mm-hmm. one of the presents you want to open. And Edison goes, okay. And then later I see him unwrapping a paper towel mm-hmm. from a little bowl of vitamins that I put out for him.
Just so he could unwrap something?
Yeah. So he unwrapped it from the paper towel and then took the bowl out and started to eat the vitamins. And I was like, bud, what are you doing? And he was like, I wrapped myself a present so I could unwrap it.
Do you hear that line with people that have fireplaces that they say wrap a bunch of empty boxes?
And throw
it. And then anytime the kids misbehave, just grab one and throw it into the fire.
Yeah.
That's a level of messed up. That's real messed up. Anyway, welcome to the Ham Radio Crash Course. This is a Ham Radio podcast,
yes,
I promise.
You haven't come to the wrong place.
you are at the right place. So we like to kick this off with the Ham Radio Minute.
It's never a minute.
It's never a minute. Today we're going to talk about something that I actually learned today. I guess I demonstrated today. I had known about this, but I didn't really think about it in my own home situation. And the minute is, if you're experiencing RFI and you've exhausted so many different things,
and your wife is unwilling to get rid of the lamp.
Try rerouting your coax. And so what I mean specifically, my antenna from HF is on my roof, and the coax ran along the ridge line of the roof and then down under the eave into the ham shack. And I remembered something I had read years ago about tackling RFI, and that how a lot of power lines for sockets, their runs run in the attic, and then they drop down the empty space of the ceiling or the walls mm-hmm. into where the socket is. So I started thinking, I'm like, I bet that underneath that coax line is probably power line runs for the multiple sockets that go from the power junction box to the bedrooms.
Okay.
So I disconnected all the coax, pulled it out, dragged it back up on the roof, and I, instead of going parallel to the ridgeline, I went 90 degrees off the ridgeline, perpendicular to the ridgeline of the roof for about I don't know, 15 feet or so, and then diagonally over in, and over the other roof line into where the shack is. Immediately, I didn't even have it connected to the ground spike or anything, an immediate drop of SDB of noise.
Wow.
And I recorded it both before and after on video. So I may turn this into a video. But I was like, oh, of course. Like, once I thought about it some more, I'm like, okay, yeah, I basically took the coax and turned it out of phase from the line, the power lines that are going through the house. And yeah, that took care of the whole thing. So there's a simple tip. If you've got a roof-based antenna and you may be getting really weird RFI and you've done a whole bunch of mitigation steps, putting ferrites and stuff, and all that stuff's good, by the way, you should do that. Try just realigning your coax out of phase for where there might be power lines that run through your home.
You seem to do a lot of things on the roof.
I do. I feel like I'm up there a lot.
Yeah. Do hams have a lot of like roof leak issues? Just from
I don't know.
From the installation of things on the roofs.
Yeah, I mean, if we had a bigger home and a bigger lot, that step IR would be on a tower in the backyard. And I would use wire antennas on trees.
I see.
We don't have any of that, though. So yes. The only thing I have of any height is the roof.
So we should not get a bigger house if I want to avoid more antennas. Okay, got it.
I don't know if that's going to solve the problem. There's just going to be more antennas on the roof. So let's see. Okay. Oh, yeah, the reviews. We got to talk about the reviews. So next segment here, the iTunes reviews. So this is the second week where we don't have any iTunes reviews. But we heard from some people that we had gotten messages from that they had posted reviews within the last 2 weeks or so, and that they're not showing up on iTunes. So we don't know what's happening exactly. So if anybody's out there listening to this and you posted a review and you go on iTunes and you don't see your review,
yeah,
then let us know. Reach out at Leah@hamtactical.com and let us know, because we don't know what's going on. So we're going to have to go to another avenue or something like that. Or we'll just use the next segment as the fastest way to, you know, communicate to us, which is Leah's email.
But yeah, if you guys could even like test post a review just so we can see if there's an issue.
We still get the 5 stars, the 4 stars, you know, all those stuff is trending upward. So I appreciate that, everybody. Thank you so much. But the written stuff we're not getting for some reason. So I don't know what's happening. So, but people are saying they are. So don't know.
Don't know.
If we're in some weird iTunes.
I know bubble. That iTunes like holds reviews.
Maybe because it's like they think it's some bot formed thing or something like that. Don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I know somebody had left a review like months ago, and then they had mentioned that they left a review, but I didn't see it for like an entire week.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if.
Yeah, I don't know how iTunes works. Maybe they don't even want you asking for people to leave a comment like that. Maybe they don't want us, you know.
I don't think that's true.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. Like I said, I don't know. But anyway, we thank you everybody for the reviews we have gotten. We appreciate all the comments. We really, really do. So thank you so much for that. And so now off to Leah's email.
Okay. The first email is from someone who wishes to remain anonymous.
Ooh, okay.
I do want to make a quick suggestion. If you want to remain anonymous, try to let me know at the beginning of
right, because you just start message. Reading it at the very end of your diatribe. And by the way.
Yeah, because your name shows up at the top as the email sender, right? And I normally read that first. But this one, I got a chance to skim through since it's the first one.
Or put it in the subject line.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Okay, so this says, Leah, your podcast is great. Mm-hmm. Thank you. And I think you and your co-host are a dynamo combination.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Being a fellow Angeleno, I didn't know if you're aware that there are famous hams in the area who actually do promote the hobby. It wouldn't surprise me if they're waiting for your call to be on your show. Just an example, Joe Walsh, WB6ACU, guitarist from the Eagles, mm-hmm. is an active amateur extra who does a local radio show on 88.5 FM.
And friend of Bob Heil.
Oh, really? That's great.
Very big friend, yeah.
And occasionally incorporates ham radio tidbits into the program. He also has photos of his ham shack in his studio city house. No step IR, though. Talk to Josh about that.
Call him up. Hey, Joe.
Yeah.
Let's get you that step IR on the roof. Is your wife too happy? Do you want to knock that down a peg or two?
Gary Shandling is another known ex-ham. Is that supposed to be extra ham?
Didn't he pass away?
Oh, I guess that's the reason that he's an ex-ham is that he's passed away.
Okay. So he's waiting for me to call him to
In fact, no, I think he's just saying notable Angelinos.
Of course. Yeah.
In fact, I think he was in a leadership role at his local club as a kid. I'm sure someone can look more into that if interested to fact check. I know there's others, and I'm sure you do connect. If you do connect with Joe, he can create warm leads to have on your show if needed. And the rest says, you're welcome to read this message on the program if you choose, but no name or call sign. Real close there. Thank you. No name
Nicely
or call
done,
sign.
Man. Nicely done.
That was a close one.
That saved me editing time. I appreciate that.
Yeah. Okay. The next one is about Cascadia.
Oh, okay.
You remember we really showed our ignorance mm-hmm. about the Cascadia fault? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
This is from Rob Ferguson.
I looked it up.
Yeah, you did. Yeah. We assumed that it was in Northern California, though, and we were wrong.
It is.
Well, I mean, that Rob was from Northern California. It says, hey, Leia and Josh, thank you for reading my email. I realized I didn't include my location. Sorry about that. I'm from Oregon.
I said that the Cascadias start in California and go north.
Gotcha.
I did say that.
As for what Cascadia, the natural disaster, not the social movement, is, I included a couple of links below. The TLDR of it all is Cascadia is predicted to be a 9.0 earthquake, ranging from part of Canada through Northern California, and is expected to decimate the region.
Mm-hmm.
With the history that can be found, this type of earthquake happens on regular intervals, and we are overdue for one. Geologists predicted it will happen within the next 50 years.
I feel like everybody says that, though. We're overdue. We're overdue for the... That's a thing you hear a lot in California.
I'm not a geologist, so I'm not really going to second guess what they have to say about that.
They go on Phantom Signals and
yeah,
talk about everything related
the
to anything.
On Phantom Signals was like Gorin from Law and Order.
There's a callback to
intent.
A previous episode that we did.
He's just like no
Lieutenant
one.
Lieutenant Gorin knows everything about everything.
Yeah, exactly. And then he became a villain.
He became the kingpin.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly. Thanks again for reading my email. I hope you enjoy learning as much as you can about natural disasters, about Cascadia.
Before they get you.
Rob. I mean, Northern California has been decimated before.
Alaska's been, there's parts of Alaska that have been utterly destroyed from earthquakes.
Yeah.
Because, also, you're talking about areas that when they rebuild, they're not necessarily rebuilding to current day earthquake technology.
Right.
A lot of these buildings are pretty old. So those are the ones that are just going to get taken out hard.
Yeah. Whew. I mean, I'm assuming there's some earthquake retrofitting that's
maybe now. Yeah, maybe. I know, but we went through that here in Southern California.
Yeah.
Tons of buildings got retrofitted.
Yeah. And then all of the building standards changed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Rob, for that. We will be really taking a deep dive into Cascadia off podcast.
Will we? Will we, though?
Yeah, that's definitely one of the things. I'll just fall down the rabbit hole.
Yeah.
Do you know how horrible this is going to be? We're going to just have to evacuate that area.
Where will we get Portland donuts?
Voodoo donuts.
Well, I mean, donuts.
Oh, Blue Star,
Portland,
too.
That's what I'm saying. Portland Donuts. I wasn't saying specifically.
Oh, well, Blue Star opened a location in LA, and mm-hmm. Voodoo Donuts you can get in Vegas now.
Okay, so good. Cascadia pop off, we're good.
No. we've got to get
covered
you,
my bases.
We've got to get you to Portland before this happens.
Oh my gosh.
Because downtown Portland will likely be decimated. Those buildings are so old.
They're just all stone.
It's such a wonderful area, though. I really do love Portland.
Well, I mean, they've got a lot of artists and stonemasons.
Yeah.
That are willing to
they only
take
work
up
till
the,
5 p.m., though.
Right. They're willing to take up the charge to rebuild.
Okay. So the next one is titled, You're a Genius.
Ah.
And I appreciate that, Nick Smith.
Yes.
Appreciate it. And I'm assuming this is in response to
the
proposed ARRL savior plan that I proposed in the last one that was as simple as adding badges.
We don't need those stinking badges.
The list is communication, 3D printing, electronics, hiking, camping, overlanding,
Leia's database doing jazz and hands, coding. Not coming through on the pod.
This is reminding me of those late night commercials where it was just like a list of trades you could use.
Oh, the Sally Struthers commercial.
Yeah.
You can major in business accounting or get your degree.
Yeah. Exactly.
This TV VCR repair. That was my favorite, TV VCR repair.
So many social points of interest and interaction.
That's dating
for
ourselves, by
venturing.
The way. Totally dating ourselves.
Well, it's not like we talked about Dionne Warwick or something.
It's about Sally Struthers might predate Dionne Warwick, actually.
What about the guy that looks like a walrus and talks about diabetes?
Wilford Brimley.
Yes, Wilford Brimley. Before or after Sally Struthers?
I think it came after.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Excellent. Okay. Well, thank you, Nick Smith. I appreciate the compliment and the suggested badges.
Beautiful
idea. Did you ever hear back from the ARRL about our podcast that we never sent to them?
No, I didn't. We got a little salty, a little salt. I'm going to be like, okay, so between the timestamps of
don't listen to anything
1 hour and
outside
15
of that.
Minutes, listen for 3 minutes and 45 seconds. Then fast forward. I don't think it was bad. I think it was just truth. We were just talking to what our experience is.
Yeah.
My experience.
Yeah. Well, you know, I was sitting there really questioning the existence of the organization.
Well, so. I think being a ham, I'm a little bit more in.
Sure.
And there are nuances that I did not probably explain.
I'm over here like, why do these people keep sending these magazines?
It's not the magazines get you. It's the, like, my ARRL subscription, I think, lapses in January.
Okay.
But you start getting, like, re-up notices in October.
Yeah.
And they just keep coming.
It's like the NRA. Their mail is just nonstop.
It's like, if you re-up now, we will send you the worst pocket knife in China that says NRA on the side of it. And you're like, dog, I don't need that. What am I going to do with that?
Why would the NRA send you a pocket knife?
That was like,
shouldn't they send you a gun?
What?
That's literally bringing a knife to a gunfight.
Okay. The NRA will send you the cheapest gun from China. How's that make sense?
It comes with a bow bang.
It's a PVC pipe and a bottle rocket.
It's like a whole China kit.
If you will. Okay. That would be horrible.
Okay. This one is Everything HRCC.
Okay.
Yeah. From Daniel McCord. Leia and Josh, first off, I want to say thank you for all you do for the ham community.
Thank you.
You're so welcome.
I mean, you do a lot if you think about it. You do a ton. If you think about it on like, I'm not able to do what I do if it wasn't for you. Period. I wouldn't be able to do it.
Oh, that is so nice. I wish that was somehow reflected in a holiday where you surprised me.
I tried to buy you a robe, and then you showed me this video on SNL that shamed me.
You have literally bought me a robe before. That's why I think. So for anybody who hasn't seen it, it's an SNL skit about Christmas morning, and it's this family, like the kids talking about everything.
I got it this, I got it that, and the dad gets all this stuff.
You get a, like a pinball machine.
Like just, I like, got a robe.
And the, yeah, the mom is like, that's all she got. She got a robe.
The dog, though.
Yeah, at the end, it's like, oh, there's still presents under the tree. And then, like, the mom thinks, oh, you guys actually did get me gifts. And they're like, they're for the dog.
And he got a robe. They cap it off. It's so good. It is so good.
This thing went so hard around the mom circles.
It did.
I mean.
And then she goes away to cook breakfast, birds herself. Everybody's still opening things. It was so bad.
One of my friends from college literally wrote as her status today, I did not get a robe. And I just didn't know how to take that. Like, did you not get anything at all?
Yeah.
Okay.
Get thee back to the kitchen.
I have been watching the YouTube channel since late August and listening to the podcast for a little over a week. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Are you just setting up your own jokes now? Is that what we're doing?
I passed my tech in October and literally just passed my general 15 minutes ago.
Wow.
We got back in the car. Contact after you.
I mean, contact.
Sucked up my email.
I'm using WinLink.
Congratulations on your general.
Congratulations. That's awesome.
I have learned a lot from Josh and the other YouTubers bunch. Second, Josh, I think Leia is trying to kill your noise floor. One week she wanted to put in grow lamps. I still want grow lamps.
I know.
Yeah, because I need to start getting ready for the next grow season. And then the following week, she got a lamp.
Yeah. Yes, the lamp.
I listened to the podcast while driving to my office, the local cigar lounge.
Oh, cool.
That's a smoky place to work.
Yeah. Don't bring your radios in there. Hams hate that.
I am a remote project network engineer, so I can work from anywhere. Very cool.
Including a cigar lounge. Yeah. That's cool.
The podcast keeps me laughing. You two balance each other well. Thank you. Josh, I love the obscure random movie quotes.
I guess I do. Many. I do a lot. I didn't really think about it. I guess it's just part of... I think I do more of it on the podcast.
You absorb movies very well.
Yeah.
You do. Lastly, from the podcast on 12/18/20, the whole idea of a merit system with the ARRL is a great idea. One, it will allow me to gain knowledge and skills as an adult in this vast hobby. I am always a big fan of anything that works with the youth to expand their knowledge. Mm-hmm. I hope this is something the ARRL will seriously consider. Daniel, KE8PUL, the bearded ham.
Right on. Thank you. That's a great email.
Thank you, Daniel.
We would love to see them do that. I can only imagine the negativity that would come from it. People would be like, I'm not going to do stupid badges. I don't want to do blah, 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 blah.
So don't do it.
Don't do it. The same way
you can still like go out and like go camping and learn how to fish and learn how to shoot a bow and arrow or
at fish.
Sure. Any number of things or like set up a fire in the woods and you don't have to be a Boy Scout.
Yeah.
There's like
it's possible.
Yeah.
I've seen it done. Okay. I'm actually gonna call. I'm gonna call David back and talk to him about that.
Okay.
I'm not gonna mention the podcast, but I'm gonna talk to him directly. I got an idea.
Okay. I've got like something that you may not realize about the podcast.
Mm-hmm. you've got something.
Yeah.
About the podcast.
Yeah. Yeah. The ARRL has a podcast.
They actually have a couple.
And I'm assuming they're aware of other ham radio podcasts.
You mean we're not just sliding under the radar with what we're doing?
I think that, like, if you search us, we end up, like, pretty close to where they are in the results. Okay. So I don't think it's a secret. Mm. Just so you know.
Oh, no. And I always come from, I'm genuinely speaking when I talk about the ARRL.
Yeah.
I support it. I will continue supporting it, but that doesn't mean I don't have criticisms.
Sure. And you don't have any control over what I say.
Right. So. and you're not really, you don't really know enough about them.
Sure.
You're just kind of commenting on what I'm telling you. So really, it's just a negativity on me, and I'm not selling it for you.
No, I'm familiar with the ARRL. I've been to their website. I've looked through, thumbed through a few QSTs.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you've opened a QST and
I have definitely opened a QST.
I have actually thought mainly about doing that as a live stream.
If mainly to pull out the ads. But
this thing's 15 pages. I have put that on the list. It's been on my list of show ideas for a while where I bring you on the stream and I just have you like look at some of the articles in QST.
Okay.
And talk about it.
Yeah, I don't think that's good. I don't think that's good anything. I don't think it's good pod. I don't think it's good video.
I don't know. Something with you getting on the stream, but that's hard enough with the kids.
Yeah.
That would be chaos.
Yeah, true story. Okay, the next one is from Brian Lutton regarding the ARRL membership discussion, and he brings up a very good suggestion.
Okay.
Is very good.
Okay.
Very good.
Okay.
Okay. Hello.
Cough directly on the microphone. Yes. Yes.
Listening to the latest podcast, and you were discussing the problem with the ARRL is having with membership. There is a simple solution that would get me to spend the $50 a year and possibly more if they offered this as a premium service.
Okay.
They can offer members a personal mailbox at the ARRL headquarters that can be used as their public address in the FCC database. The ARRL can just forward mail received at this address to members' real address that they have on file, or even scan the mail and email it to members. This way, my address wouldn't be public. I still meet the requirements of the FCC for contact reasons, and my real address remains safe from the scrupulous database scrapers. While I can get a P.O. box, it's difficult for me as my local P.O. box isn't open past 4 p.m., and there are not convenient UPS store locations near me. This would be a great service for its members. Thanks, Brian.
It's a good idea, but I don't think that's true. I think you have to be within so many miles of your P.O. box. You can't just have your address be ARRL headquarters. That doesn't work for the FCC.
Okay.
And again, we're talking about two disparate groups, right? The FCC is the government arm that grants the license.
Okay.
And the ARRL is our, you know, coordinated arm of amateur radio. They're not the government, right? So that is like trying to get anonymity, but with like way, way extra steps. Because they just don't have the setup for that. They'd have to build up significantly to do. I mean, the scanning idea is sweet, but that's multiple jobs and multiple thousands of dollars of equipment to achieve that. Good idea, but
is it though? Because aren't they already passing on QSO cards or QSL cards?
So interesting. So make the bureau the local address might work. And the bureau locations are spread all around, so some of them may not work, like in California. Mm-hmm. It's just too big, right? There's just, you're probably further away from the bureau than you are close to it, kind of thing. That could work. But consider, again, what I mentioned about the bureau with the QSL cards. We make a big fat stack of QSL cards, put it in one bulk envelope,
yeah,
ship that to the ARRL Bureau.
Mm-hmm.
Versus have your mail forwarded there, and then you have people opening every envelope and scanning it. That's
they could just package and send it on.
Yeah, they could, but you know, then it is a premium service. You would be paying extra for that. Yeah. It would not be $50 a month for that.
Yeah, I mean, maybe you pay per piece of mail they process.
Sure, but I mean, he mentioned the scanning, right? And the scanning brings into privacy issues.
I mean, there are services that do that.
Right, so why not just use that service? Why does it have to be the ARRL?
Because the ARRL wants to stay in business.
Okay, fair enough.
Okay, thank you, Brian.
Brian, I like the out-of-the-box thinking.
Yeah, I like that idea. Okay, the next one is from Jeffrey Finney. It's titled Helicopter House.
Mm.
That is, in fact, our house.
Yes.
Helicopter House.
Mm-hmm.
Greetings. Love the podcast and the YouTube channel. I was watching the Step IR video. You know, the one where he's turned your house into a helicopter?
Yes.
Yes, I am. I'm deeply aware.
I've done a few.
Well, I'm sitting here happily watching the video and I feel the side of my head heating up. Did the Step IR reach all the way to you? I slowly looked over and saw my wife peeking over the top of her tablet, giving me laser eyes, like, do not even think of it, mister. I know the feeling.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I had to talk her off the ledge and explain how I was going to put up a dipole, which is just a couple of wires that will disappear into the trees anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Love your podcast.
I'm doing it as a service for everyone else. I'm not doing that, honey. I'm doing something much, much smaller.
Yeah. And that's from Jeff, K1JDP.
Right on, Jeff.
Thank you, Jeff. And I suppose Josh is glad to be of service.
Anything I can do to be of service.
Yeah. Okay. The next email says, love it, love it. And that is from Joseph Hamer. Enjoy the podcast and look forward each week. Josh has reignited my interest in ham radio. I've had my ticket since 1979. Thanks to Josh. Oh, I think I'm reading that with the wrong cadence. Anyways, he's been a ham since 1979.
Right, and but it thank reinvigorated. You Got for, it.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Keep up the good work, you two. I also now call red solo cups cat cups in our
Well, thank Edison.
Cat cups.
He's the one that came up cat with that. Cups. Cat cups.
What are you doing? They're cat cups.
Okay.
73 Joe. Okay.
So many cat cups.
Yes. Next one is ham badges.
Okay. Man, you really struck a chord with the last episode.
From Dave Harvey. Hi, Leia. First off, I love the podcast. I just got into it, but I've been eagerly waiting on them every week since I started. You and your guest, in quotation marks.
She used air fingers.
Make ham radio very approachable and much more fun. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I just passed my tech and general a couple of weeks ago, got my ticket today, and made my first contact tonight. Congratulations.
That's a
lot. Things are moving fast, all thanks to HRCC.
Indeed.
I was listening to the podcast last week, and it really struck a chord. I was an Eagle Scout and was one of the weirdos aiming to get as many merit badges as possible. I ended up with, I think, 47 badges before I stopped
That's
going.
That's pretty good. I have to ask my mom how many badges I got. She's got the
That's impressive.
Sash somewhere.
Yeah.
I think that's more than I had.
I personally think that the badges merit certification system would be amazing. Not only would it allow a sense of accomplishment throughout learning, but depending on the implementation, it would allow greater access to Elmers for young hams in more specific areas. I also see shadow boxes with different badges in them with a call sign plaque in the center. I'm a former Marine woodworker. I can't help it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that'd be so cool.
Can you consider all the like merch ideas that come out of this yeah. that the ARRL could do? Private people could come up with the shadow box idea, all that yeah. stuff. It sells itself.
Yeah.
Right?
You guys are awesome, and I wish that this would become a reality. Being a brand new ham, I want to see all of what ham radio has to offer. No suggestions or anything. I just don't have iTunes and wanted to let you know that you guys have struck gold with this. Can't wait for the next episode. 73, Dave, KC, 10II? KC10II?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you, Dave.
Thank you, Dave.
Yeah. It's like, congratulations. You did a whole lot there. Yeah. in Scouts and in ham radio.
Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome.
It's impressive. Okay. Next one. Santa's Shack from John Keith. Leia and Josh. A clip from our local VHF Santa Net. It says it, but sorry for the background noise. I had the chance to ask Santa about his gear. Those naughty elves. My friend and Elmer did a great job as Santa. So there's actually a YouTube video associated with it. We'll pop it in the
sure.
Description.
Yeah, I'm assuming that's the there's a couple of Santa net clubs. Yeah, it's
like
a Santa yeah. net basically, and you know, people have their kids on their lap or whatever, and they can talk to Santa and do the whole thing. And I think there's some pre work that goes into it. You actually send information in on the email and stuff like that.
That is pretty cool.
Yeah,
you should do that. You should do a Santa net. Our kids don't believe in Santa anyway. You wouldn't be spoiling anything for them.
Yeah, I just need time.
Yeah, that's true. Did Santa bring you that today?
No, that was not in my stocking.
Yeah,
I didn't get any more of that this year.
This says, Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, Happy New Year from John, KE5ETX. Thank you so much, John.
Thank you, John.
And we'll link that video in the show notes. Review.
Okay.
From B. Murphy.
Okay.
Leia and Josh been meeting to give a review 5 out of 5 stars for 6 months.
Oh, thank you.
My favorite podcast and think is the best ham radio related podcast out there. Your podcast actually got me listening to other podcasts.
Whoa.
Thank you. Keep up the great work and longer is better. Thanks for the entertainment. B. Murphy, KJ7MOE. Oh, I don't think I was supposed to read this email out because at the bottom it says, notice this email message is for the sole use of the intended recipient and it may contain.
Oh, that might be a boilerplate.
It is. It is.
Okay.
But I guess I
shouldn't. Are we
going to
get sued?
I shouldn't be reading that.
Sorry, B. Murphy.
Yeah, sorry about that. Okay. This one is from MD7. Mars Radio. Greetings, Leia and Josh. I've heard brief mentions about Mars Radio on the show and wondered if you could expand on that. Oh, I don't think he means Mars Radio.
Yeah, he does.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
We've talked about Mars?
No.
Oh.
But he knows the term.
And wondered if you could expand on that unique aspect of amateur radio in a future podcast. I've read that certification to become Mars qualified can be rigorous. While in the military, I had a chance to use Mars radio twice to talk to my family from aircraft in flight. My family was floored to get a morale call from a ham operator who then patched me through to say a few quick words and an I love you while far away from home. I can't tell you how much that meant to my family and I. To all the Mars operators, thank you for your service. Merry Christmas and 72. QRPers do it with less.
Right on.
Matt W7MDN.
I don't know enough about Mars.
I didn't know that this is something that people could do. That is super cool, and I would want to do that.
So Mars is not... I'm going to be careful here, because I'm probably going to say something wrong, because I don't know enough about it, but Mars stands for Military Auxiliary Radio Service, or System. I think it's service.
Mm-hmm.
It is a volunteer program, mm-hmm. and I believe you have to maintain certain level of volunteer hours a year to maintain the accreditation for it.
Okay.
And it is a bit of that, what he just talked about. It is not necessarily tied to your amateur radio license.
Interesting.
But you may have to have an amateur radio license to even get into it. I'm not positive. Okay. I really don't know enough about it.
So then why don't we talk about it next week? You research, come back and answer.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. It can be your ham radio minute that's never a minute.
No, that would have to be a whole show if we're going to do Mars Radio, because it's not just like a minute long thing. It's there's a lot to it.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, Matt.
Yeah, great. That was a great email.
I'm on to my last email here.
Okay.
It's very short. It's actually from Michael Demerit, and it's an email about how we didn't post a podcast this morning.
Yes.
It says, Merry Christmas. I was sad to see, to not see a new podcast this episode this morning, because they're what keep me going during this BS pandemic. But as a nurse, thank you for your service, Michael.
Michael probably worked today.
Yeah, I'm very happy for you and your family that you could take time off and just be together. I'm working tonight, Christmas, at the hospital.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, hoping we all get through this mostly alive. I know you folks in SoCal are hurting, so here's Christmas best wishes from Indiana and from KD9TOB, hoping you and your co-host, and especially your kids, enjoy 2021 like a refreshing sangria after a hurricane of 2020.
Mm.
Okay, so
good
maybe
there.
Don't give the kids sangria, but I think you get my point. Best wishes for the new year. Keep doing your awesome thing.
Yeah, so I mentioned it on a YouTube post, but the reason why we didn't record the podcast last night is I straight up fell asleep. Just straight up fell asleep. I don't even know what time I fell asleep.
We had a feast, and Josh is trying to go pescatarian alongside me. So we had like seafood and like a lot of like vegetarian appetizers and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then Josh had like most of the bottle of champagne.
I think I had like two glasses of champagne. I didn't even finish.
I only had one. Where did the champagne go?
There's not that much champagne in a bottle. I had two glasses.
At least 4 to 5 glasses.
I don't think so. I definitely didn't drink that much, but I went to sleep at like 9 o'clock.
You fell asleep while we were still on the Zoom with my family. You didn't even say goodbye to
anyone. I just crashed out. I got on that because there's a couch in the living room where the Christmas tree is. We had the laptop up doing the whole thing. And I just went out.
Yeah.
And I didn't wake up until like 1 o'clock. And I woke up thinking, oh God, we got to do the podcast. And I'm like, what time is it? And you're like, 1 o'clock. And I'm like, well, there's always tomorrow.
You needed the rest, though.
I did. I was so tired. Yeah. I've been tired the last like week.
Well, you've been staying up late and then still getting up early. So, yeah, that was, thank you so much, Michael, for the email and for your service.
Yeah, thank you.
We are actually doing very poorly in SoCal.
Yes.
Like, we're reaching the point where I would venture to guess the majority of people know somebody personally who has had COVID or has been, like, severely impacted.
My grandfather got it this week.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he is going to turn 96 this year.
Yeah, and he's had a stroke before, which is a high risk factor.
Yeah, yeah, so, and yeah. That's tough story all around.
And I think I mentioned before that one of my best friends, her dad passed away from COVID as well last week.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, things are not good. Our local hospitals are bringing in like portable morgues, and they're setting up field hospitals in parking lots.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy. Yeah. Totally insane.
And nurses have started to quit because of the amount of pressure from on the ICU, like ICU nurses especially.
Oh, it's. It just must be so hard for them.
I know. It's
imagine being in like a battle like that doesn't stop.
And keep in mind, I think nurses in SoCal, by and large, if you're working ICU or something like that, those are like 12-hour shifts.
Yeah.
They work 3 days a week,
mm-hmm.
but they're 12-hour shifts. And hospitals, some of them anyway, have started adding bonuses if they're willing to pick up an extra shift because they're so shorthanded.
That's crazy.
So there are nurses that are getting, for the extra shift, an additional $1,000.
Which is great, but you'd like totally blow your immune system.
Yeah, exactly.
And then every time you look up on your Facebook page, you've got people on it that are, you know, having fun and treating it like, you know, we aren't going through a thing right now, right?
Yeah. And I think it's hard for people. It's got to
be really demoralizing.
I think it's hard for people outside of the area to understand because.
Outside of California or outside of the ICU?
Outside of the areas that are like heavily impacted. Like, because not all of California is like this.
Sure.
We're in a specific region, right? And then the same way, like, I don't think that we really were able to fully visualize what was happening in New York in the beginning.
Oh, yeah. No, they're really bad. Yeah.
So,
but I mean, we're kind of there now.
We are because they're talking about rationing care now.
Yeah, that's just crazy. So, scary. Well, okay.
Yeah.
Thanks for that. So let's talk about alcohol to go along with the downer that you put us into. So the drink review today, we are very holiday cheer. We are.
I'm going to be honest. I'm trying to power through all of the Christmas drinks we have left in our house so that I don't have them past the new year.
Right.
So right now it is Glühwein, which is a mulled wine.
And I don't know that we're pronouncing that correct, but
Glühwein.
Glühwein.
You tell us. Yeah, if you are familiar, please tell us.
Glühwein? It's Glühwein, I think.
Glühwein. Okay, Glühwein. Well, I'm going to believe you.
Anyway, it is a traditional mulled red wine.
Yes. I have like a handful of go-to drinks when the holidays roll around.
Where do you get this?
Peppermint mocha.
Yes.
I got this one at Aldi, but they carry them like in different places. Because I think I've actually even bought this in Solvang before.
Oh, yeah. I think you have.
It's Glühwein.
The W sounds like a V.
Glühwein.
Glühwein.
Eggnog.
Eggnog?
Yeah.
That's not something we drink all year round. No.
Peppermint hot chocolate. What else? What else do we drink seasonally? That's it.
That's it. Yeah. Would you call this good?
Oh, no. I call it a flavor of Christmas.
Yeah. It's not like good.
I would, if it was good.
It goes with the season.
If it was good, you would drink mulled wine all year round.
This is a good point. And on the bottle specifically, the instructions are right on the front. It says heat and serve. So it's meant to be served warm.
Yeah.
It is too warm here to do warm drinks. So we don't do that. Leia is drinking it at room temperature,
and
I actually
fine.
Put a couple ice cubes in mine.
Maybe that's why you don't like it as much as I do.
I don't know. I think it's fine. It's not good. It's just it feels like Christmas when you drink that.
Yeah, that's the point.
Yeah, well,
just like eggnog. You don't drink eggnog year round.
Oh, I like the taste of eggnog.
Did you try the almond eggnog?
Yes, I did. I did not like it.
Oh, yeah, that's what my sister said too.
But
I like it more.
Or Broguiers or whatever it was still in business, that is the best eggnog.
I think they are back in business.
Are they?
Actually.
Oh my gosh! Yeah. That if they serve
so thick.
If they made eggnog every year, all year round, I would drink it more often.
You would drink eggnog.
I could drink if it's that
June?
Eggnog. If it's, I was just going to say, if it's that eggnog, I could drink it.
I do not believe you.
In the summer.
Nope.
It is so. Freaking good. It is so good.
The same way you don't really drink margaritas in the winter.
I drink a margarita in the winter. What are you talking about?
Like a Christmas spice margarita?
This one comes with a cinnamon stick.
That's what I'm talking about.
Mm-mm. It's great. Yeah. Well, I mean,
you would
it's
like
margarita.
This if this were a slushy. You would take it all back.
I?
Yeah, you would. You and like the adult Capri Suns. You are a sucker for for lucky, like an icy type drink.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. Okay, well, very good. So that is the drink review. It's a thing. Google it. And, you know, maybe if you haven't had it, I would say try it. It's low alcohol. It's you know, it's spiced wine, so it's 9% alcohol. Comes in a 1 liter bottle. Share with your family, those of drinking age.
Yeah, I mean, we could have spiked this a little bit more, I think.
Ah, no, I think it's fine the way it is. But, I mean, if you heat it and serve it, it's going to lose even more alcohol because it's going to get, you know,
yeah, and then you got to put
off.
Brandy in it.
That's what's for eggnog. I mean,
it's like a warm sangria.
Yeah, that's probably the best way of looking at it. It's like a warm sangria. So if you sangria'd that and called it like a winter time, the winter sangria, mm-hmm. it's a warm Glühwein with, would you put in it? Schnapps then? Because it can't be brandy.
I imagine, though, a winter sangria would use white wine.
Okay.
Yeah. Sure. Just so you can see the cranberries in it. You know?
Because you got to put cranberries
in it.
Jeez. Okay. All right. So now, Leia, it is time. We're back to the practice test. You've started on your, is this your third or fourth test? Third.
I think it might be my fourth test, but it didn't save my first test.
Oh, okay. So it's your third full test.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And you are, you finished question 5 last week.
Yes.
So we are in question 6.
Yes, we are. What is the limitation for emissions on the frequencies between 219 and 220 megahertz? A, fixed digital message forwarding systems only. B, fast scan television only. C, spread spectrum only. D, emergency traffic only.
Well,
I'm going to go ahead and just go with emergency traffic only. Okay, that's wrong. It is A, fixed digital message forwarding systems only. I wasn't going to know it. I wasn't going to be able to suss it out.
What was the question again?
What is the limitation for emissions on the frequencies between 219 and 220 megahertz?
Yeah. Okay.
I wasn't going to know it.
I don't even remember that one.
Well, now you know. It's fixed digital message forwarding systems
only. I'll
never
forget. I'll never forget.
Just like, period.
Period.
Yeah.
Not even emergencies. Get out of here with your emergency.
Not even emergencies. Which of the following actions should you take if a neighbor tells you that your station's transmissions are interfering with their radio or TV reception?
This is a good one.
Well, first, you tell them to shut up. Mm-hmm. That's so neighborly.
Mm-hmm.
That's not how radio works.
You idiot.
A, immediately turn off your transmitter and contact the nearest FCC office for assistance. You know, that's not it, because they're not going to do anything for you.
You were right.
Yeah. B.
Spoiler.
Install a harmonic doubler on the output of your transmitter.
Embiggen your signal.
And tune it until the interference is eliminated.
Okay.
C. Tell them that your license gives you the right to transmit and nothing can be done to reduce the interference.
That is the Karen answer.
That was what I said. Shut it.
Shut it.
I have my rights.
You start wearing a badge.
And a vest.
And of course.
Safety vest.
Right.
100.
Mm-hmm.
D, make sure that your station is functioning properly and that it does not cause interference to your own radio or television when it is tuned to the same channel. That's the logical answer.
It's like we worked right through that. I helped you out far too much on that. You could have never gotten there on your own.
Which of the following is a likely cause of irregular fading of signals received by ionospheric reflection? A, interference from thunderstorms. B, frequency shift due to Faraday rotation. C, intermodulation distortion. And D, random combining of signals arriving via different paths. I'm going to go with D, random combining of signals arriving via different paths. And I am correct.
And that is a thing that is not happening right now.
Because of sunspots?
Because of sun cycle, but yes. Also sunspots. The sun cycle, as it goes up, then long path and short path will actually become a thing.
So, you know, it's interesting. for a very long time, you have a, how do you say?
How do you say?
Poo-pooed astrology.
Astrology or astronomy?
Astrology.
No.
But it sounds like so much of your communications are now so dependent on the whims of the sun.
What does that have to do with astrology?
Well, astrology assumes that the astral bodies also have an impact on people's personalities.
What do they say when something's in the money house or the money house or something?
Mercury is in retrograde.
Okay.
It happens a couple times a year.
Oh, geez.
And that's when everything gets effed up. That's just...
The whole year, Mercury has been in retrograde.
Mercury, you need to get out of retrograde.
I don't know what you're doing. You need to go to remedial class. This retrograde is not passing.
Just go forward instead of backwards, please. Forward grade.
I don't even want to talk about this. Okay.
Actually, it's funny because I don't believe that much in astrology either.
Wait, that much or not at all?
I mean...
You believe that
a star
that you... It's not even anywhere near us that we refer to like
I'm a little stitious. I'm not superstitious. I'm a little stitious.
You're not super. You're minor stitious. Microstitious.
Yeah.
I can't.
I mean, yeah, absolutely. Because we even bought a house with the auspicious numbers.
But that's not astrology.
It has to do with years and stuff like that. But that combined,
that's like feng shui though. And by the way, I don't believe in it either.
It's all woo to you. Does it matter?
Until it comes to sun cycles, that's a measurable phenomena. It is a measurable thing.
I'm just saying, hams out there, who maybe you're not into astrology.
It's not supernatural.
Hold on. Maybe you're not into astrology, but maybe this is a time you and your partner, who probably does believe in astrology, get together and take a look at the sun cycles and the sunspots. See what they mean for you on the radio. See what they mean for her in astrology. Really let this bring you together.
Is that how we get significant others that are female into ham radio? Is astrology?
Yes, maybe.
Just making it about the sun.
Just some tips, you
know? just some little idea. Yeah. Just bouncing it off of you. You can run with it. You don't have to. Okay.
What is an amateur station control point? A, the location of the station transmitting apparatus. B, the location at which the control operator function is performed. C, the location of the station's transmitting antenna. D, the mailing address of the station's licensee. It's A, the location of the station transmitting app. What?
It's B, right?
Yeah, it is B. That makes sense, actually.
Yeah.
Now that I've read it again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was going to ask you to read it again, but that one trips people up.
But I am really trying to blow through this test, if you haven't noticed.
That's why we talked about astrology just now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, of course.
Question 10.
Okay.
What may result when correspondence from the FCC is returned as undeliverable because the grantee failed to provide and maintain a correct mailing address with the FCC? Like nothing? Like this? My understanding is very little.
It's a waiver.
A, fine or imprisonment. What are you in for?
No, I didn't keep up a valid mailing address. The FCC hogtied me and dragged me in here.
Received return mail.
I put return to sender on a letter from the FCC. Now I'm locked up for 10 to 20. Maybe 8 on good behavior.
I was actually living there, though.
I just put return to sender on it. Dumbest thing I ever did.
B, require the licensee to be re-examined. C, a reduction of one rank in operator class. You return the letter to the FCC. You write return to sender, or for some reason it gets lost in the mail.
Demoted.
You're an extra. They're like, now you're a general.
Now you're a general.
You lost some bands, man.
Well, you didn't lose bands. You lost access. Portions of the band.
Yeah. Okay. D, revocation of the station's license or suspension of the operator license. So it's either B, require the licensee to be re-examined.
Okay.
Or D, revocation of the station license or suspension of the operator license.
Your process of elimination is
apt. I'm going to go with D because...
We're going to retest you because you can't keep an address? You got real dumb.
You must be dumb
because you couldn't keep an address.
Take it again. We're going to let you keep your license, but you must take it again.
This time, you better bring a good address. We're going to break your kneecaps and put you in jail.
What is happening at the FCC?
Trolling people, apparently.
I was led to believe very little, but now they're almost like a mafia.
They used to have Louisville Sluggers, but, you know, budget costs and everything, they now have wiffle ball bats.
Just, it takes like 20 times longer to get beat.
It's like a piñata.
Okay, that was five. Mm-hmm. Do you want me to keep going?
That's your call. Oh, no. You feel saucy? You gonna do another one?
No, I've got a lot of glow wine to get through.
Okay. All right. Okay, so thank you so much, Leah, for working through the questions. You're doing a great job.
Thank you.
I think you're still above your pass rate.
I don't even want to talk about it anymore.
Okay, good.
I'm gonna do what I do. And one day I will pass. I'm hoping that eventually somebody will develop a betting system.
There's just a pool.
With an over-under and a spread.
They have this very complicated scheme. I could see that happening. We got Discord bots. We can do that. That could be fun.
Oh, we didn't talk about the giveaway.
Oh, yeah. So for everybody listening... win this post, which
really,
is going to be
really bury it right in the middle
that's
of
right.
the podcast.
this is the smart move in podcasting, because I only want the real diehard people to
it's
know
true.
About the giveaway.
Yeah.
So December 27th, this is posting on December 27th, we'll be doing our Christmas stream, which for 3 years running now, I have made some sort of Christmas light antenna contraption.
Well, I hope that the power doesn't go out in the house.
Yeah. And this year, I have built my most elaborate Christmas light antenna.
Yes.
I would argue that its wow factor in its visual display of RF is way, way better than it is actually an antenna. Last year's antenna, far more effective as an antenna than this year's antenna. But this year's antenna looks much cooler.
Ben did tell me that you were somewhat disappointed in the performance of yours. He came out and he's like, Daddy's gonna have to work on this a little bit more.
Ben's like coming out and doing status checks.
Yeah. How you doing? Dad, is your head okay?
Yeah. So it's better on 20 meters than it is on 40 meters. And I try to cover those two bands for the live stream because that's mm-hmm. where most people are, that kind of thing. So we will do, you know, we'll do FT8. We'll try to run some single sideband. I actually did make a single sideband contact with the Christmas light antenna on 100 watts to Indiana.
Huh.
So not bad. They gave me a 5.3 was my signal report.
Okay.
So I had a... They were able to copy the voice, mm-hmm. but my signal strength was 3, S3. Yeah. Pretty low, pretty mm-hmm. bad. It's basically like QRP. And I was running 100 watts into the Christmas light.
Yes.
So the Christmas lights
not
are
efficient.
Totally illuminated.
Yeah.
And all that RF power went into lighting the bulbs instead of actually going out of my home area.
I mean, the geometry of it all, I guess. Plus, it's on the ground.
Don't give up. I mean, people can probably figure it out from the thumbnail of the picture.
Yeah, exactly.
But I haven't given up.
So creative.
Oh, I'm being so sneaky.
So deceptive.
Oh,
this is no Nintendo box. Okay.
Nintendo box.
Nintendo game box. You're not sneaking anything past anyone.
I'm sorry. What?
You don't. This is a callback.
Okay.
To earlier in the podcast.
Now you're teaching me about comedy.
Yeah. In which we discussed you deceiving your family.
Nintendo box was the Super Nintendo game cartridge that I took out of the Christmas gift.
Yeah. It's so funny when you explain it, though.
Well, but Nintendo box, they make a new Nintendo box every couple of years. I didn't understand what you. Okay. I get the callback. Thank you. Very good. But with the live stream, because it's just going to be a fun live stream and making contacts and, you know, just
or
whatever. Not. You know, or not. Yeah, or not. I will be doing a bunch of giveaways. So we have a gift card from Radiodity that we'll be giving away. We have a couple of Signal Stick antennas. We are giving away some ICOM lanterns and boonie hats and shirts, assuming we have your size. We only have odd sizes left from the original box of shirts.
And by odd sizes, it's like smalls.
Smalls and...
mediums and I think...
mediums and smalls.
4X?
Is there a 4X?
I don't know.
Okay. We'll work it out, but you'll definitely get a boonie hat and a lantern. And then we are giving away some ham tactical t-shirts.
We are.
And we didn't mention actually on the emails, if anybody sends you an email... because we didn't get any shirt ideas.
That's true.
If you send Leia a shirt idea, and it doesn't have to be a shirt, it can be a merch idea, and we make the merch, you will be the first person that gets a copy of that merch.
Yes.
So now you know, leiahamtactical.com. So yeah, there'll be giveaways tomorrow. We'll have some fun, and then of course we'll do the Discord. And I haven't decided. I may do a couple of giveaways on the Discord. We'll see how that goes. That might be based off of who can make the first contact with me during the after chat. That person, that call sign, will get a something.
Exciting ideas.
Exciting ideas. So we'll see how it goes. So this is very timely because it's just going to be, you know, whatever, less than 24 hours from now. But yeah, thanks everybody for listening. Okay. So today's topic is portable tips and tricks, portable operation tips and tricks.
Okay.
Now, we're kind of obviously in the winter. People are feeling it different than others, but there are people who legitimately are in the winter.
Yes.
And we have Winter Field Day coming up, which is in January. So it's the opposite of the Summer Field Day, which is in June.
Oh, yeah. I would say in California, Summer Field Day would be theoretically less, Southern California anyway, less enjoyable than Winter Field Day.
Yeah, Winter Field Day in Southern California is actually funner.
Right.
Because you just go to the beach and it's overcast and nice.
Yeah.
And you, well, not now, but traditionally, you could just set up and run all day. Huh?
Are beaches closed?
Well, you know, whatever. I don't know if they're going to let you just hang out, set up an antenna and just hang out all day.
Oh, yeah, probably not.
Yeah. But there are other places where it's actually like wicked cold.
Wicked cold.
Wicked cold. So yeah, some of these tips and tricks are just things to keep in mind that I generally recommend people to have when they go out in a field. So the first is first aid kit should be number one, right?
Because
in
you
your
can
list.
Use the Band-Aids or something.
You can use the Band-Aids to hold your antenna up. You know, you just chain them together, and you can, you know, make it. Tourniquets are really good for antenna mounts. You know, you just wrap it around multiple times.
Okay.
No, obvious reasons. Like particularly if you go out by yourself, which you shouldn't really do in the winter, that can be dangerous. But, you know, assuming you leave leave a plan for what you're planning on doing,
mm-hmm.
where you're planning to be and the mm-hmm. relative hours that you plan on being there. Even if it's a simple day trip and you're going into an area that doesn't have cell phone service and you may have a major snowfall while you're there, it could be difficult to get in and out. So leave a plan mm-hmm. with your loved ones so they know. But the first aid kit, obviously, that makes a lot of sense. And in that first aid kit, consider adding a solar blanket.
Oh.
Solar blankets aren't really to take solar energy and like bring it into your body, they're reflective. They're reflective of your own body heat. So when you wrap yourself up in it, you're retaining a lot of your body heat.
Like a regular blanket.
Well, but it's like it's way more reflective than a regular blanket. Mm. So solar blanket. And if you're going to use one, make sure to cover your head with it. Your head is where the most of your heat escapes from. These are all Boy Scout tips. These are all things you should learn in Boy Scouts. To go along with that, include the 10 essentials. We'll try to include a link to a good set of 10 essentials. For those that know, they know you should have 10 essentials whenever you go outdoors. Now,
like, is one of those essentials a dog?
With a little tiny barrel full of brandy under it. Yeah. In Southern California, it's a chihuahua, though.
And it's tequila.
It's a bottle of tequila. So as far as the radio stuff goes, though, so now we're dipping into the radios. Know how to use your radio as like an antenna analyzer. I mentioned this before. You will inevitably run into problems with antennas, and you may have to adjust them on the fly. If you haven't done this before, most radios, in fact, I haven't really met one that doesn't have one, unless you're talking about a very, very compact CW, Morse code only radio, has a SWR meter on the radio in some factor or another.
Okay.
Learn how to use that when dialing around the bands to determine where your sweet spot is for the SWR. It is entirely possible that you set your antenna up, you know, down at home, and it was a really good SWR, but then you get it up on the mountain, you may have it configured in a weird way, and your SWR is really high. So using your radio, you can find out where the sweet spot is, where the low spot is on the SWR, and adjust the antenna as needed.
So you're saying recalibrate in the field.
Right, specifically. But you need to practice this before you just like do it, right? Out in the field necessarily. So keep that in mind.
So go to another field before you go to your field is what you're saying.
Right. For everybody that lives like cold is all around me, you don't really have a lot of extra place. Oh, down where I live, it's really nice. And then I go to cold. Where everywhere is cold, this is a little bit harder, I appreciate. But it's significantly easier to do it at home than when you're on a mountain or a cold park, a secluded place, right? Or just figure it out in the field, but just keep that in mind. That can help. Along with that, pack a multi-tool or an appropriate tool set for whatever it is you're working on. This adds extra weight. If you're hiking, the multi-tool is probably going to do better for you than, you know, bringing a bunch of extra loose hand tools, like one jobber's, one set of needle nose pliers, one set of electrician scissors or wire cutters or whatever.
Is there like a ham's like multi-tool?
There was a Leatherman Squirt that had the wire strippers on it. So instead of needle nose pliers, it was wire strippers.
And they don't have it anymore?
They're harder to find. It's the electrician version of the Leatherman Squirt.
Huh.
So that's a micro multi-tool, small little unit. So you still might want a full-size unit.
You love multi-tool so much. This should be something that you make. You should design a multi-tool.
I do like multi-tools, but I'm really, really picky about multi-tools.
Yeah.
Because I don't like the tools in most of them.
That's why you should make your own.
That's not a bad idea.
Don't anybody take this idea.
It's not a bad idea. Okay. Pack an extra Tenkara rod. If you weren't planning on bringing a Tenkara rod,
fishing.
Pack a Tenkara rod.
Yeah, so you can fish while you're waiting to make contacts?
Yeah, I guess don't bring an extra one. Just bring one. Let me be clear. Unless you're like Adam.
Fish in your field.
K6ARK brings like a bunch of rods, and he builds like these just ginormous antenna systems out on the top of mountains. It's crazy. The Tenkara rod is a Japanese fly fishing rod. It is a telescoping rod of fiberglass or carbon fiber manufacture that has no eyelets running up like a traditional fishing rod. What that allows you to do is treat it like an antenna mast. Even if you're going in a place where there will be trees that you can run an antenna to, sometimes it is beneficial to have a Tenkara rod that you can just strap to the side of a picnic table, something really simple, or even a rock, shove it in between two rocks. And then you just get like an extra bit of height if you need some help getting it in onto a tree, or if you don't want it to come just straight back down to earth like a inverted V. You want it to be horizontal for further. Those are all things you can do with a 10-car rod. So they're really, really beneficial in the field. It's a really good idea. Gear snakes. Lots of gear snakes.
What?
A gear snake is a plastic-coated wire. It's like the twist ties that you like for bread or whatever, sure, or electronics. But think of it as its own like spool that you get like 50 feet of this stuff at Walmart. Okay. And it's got like a soft rubber coating. And so you just, you know, pull off.
Is that what the kids were playing with?
When?
That there was like a, okay, no, it's fine.
Was it orange?
You know, don't worry about it. Okay. It's okay. They weren't playing with your stuff.
Okay.
So I stopped them.
You pull off like a foot of this and you snip it with wire cutters and you just throw it in your bag. I would go so far as to say, take extra more than you need because you never know when you're going to use it. I've used it to hold up ends of wires on the other end of antennas. I've used it to hold 10 car rods up against a picnic table or a fence post or whatever. They have a multitude of uses and they are like, they weigh very little. And when you need it, it solves a very specific problem that you'd have to do some kind of janky business to make it work. So they're always a good thing to have in your pack.
Okay.
Pack at least 2 coax adapters. So if you have a QRP radio that's generally like BNC connectors and you are going to use some kind of coax that has like a PL259 connector, a traditional coax, like a UHF connector, don't just bring one of those BNC to PL259 connectors. Put one in the radio bag and then put another one in your tool pouch or somewhere because you will undoubtedly, if you do this long enough or just have bad luck, one of those adapters will not work right. And so you can swap it out. And if you're trying to troubleshoot a problem, why the antenna's not working, whatever, one of the first places I check is all my connectors, and sometimes I'll even swap out the adapter. And I've had a SODA activation where it was the adapter that was the problem.
Huh.
Or, and this is the worst case, you get all the way to the top of the mountain, and you forget that you didn't pack the antenna adapter.
Ooh.
And that is, you're done at that point. You can't do anything. Pack it up, go home. Unless you're going to use an HT and just do a VHF, UHF, simplex. So pack an extra adapter. They'll save a lot of time. Now, for your list of gear, particularly if you have time in between when you go out in the field, make a checklist of your gear. Laminate that checklist and then walk through the checklist with like a dry erase marker. Check the boxes to make sure you have all your gear in place.
You speak like somebody who has forgotten a lot of things.
It happens, man. And it's always the one thing that you have to have that you cannot activate without it. So definitely checklist. Okay. Here's the one that this is what I do. People do things differently. I try and pack major items in their own smaller bag that goes into my backpack. So I put my antenna system in a bag.
Mm-hmm.
My radio is in a bag. My headset and mic in a separate bag. And largely I do that because the bags get written on. They have the name of what's in it. I know the color. I use color coding, that kind of stuff. And they're just separate. They live in whatever bag. And then when I get home or whatever, let's say I'm changing backpacks, I'll use like one of those S-clips or a gear snake or whatever, and I'll lash them together. Usually they have like a D-ring on it or whatever. So I'll just connect them all together, and then I can just pick it up, put it in a new bag. And that makes it really easy to swap bags if I need to. Plus, I'm less likely to forget things because it's just in that bag. Once I zip it up, I know everything's in there. So,
good.
Yeah, bags in bags. Big fan of that. Pack a car charger for batteries. So, let's say you're doing a POTA or you're doing something. It's cold. Your batteries, you charged them a week ago. Maybe you forgot to charge them the night before. Get out in the field. They've got 20%. Or you wake up in the morning and you're loading things up and you're like, I'm not sure if these are charged all the way. Put them on your car while you're driving to the location. Charge them up while you're going. It's an extra good thing to have. Plus, if you're ever in some kind of situation where it's an emergency, You may want to have that so that you can keep your batteries topped up in case you need to call for help or whatever.
That's a good idea.
So it's a good extra layer of protection. Now, as far as batteries go, keep your batteries on your person if you can, like inside your jacket, your inner jacket pockets. Particularly if it's cold, batteries will lose their charge faster or be fully depleted.
Really?
If you use them in a very cold climate. So I've had camera batteries.
Why do people tell you to freeze batteries then?
That's the opposite. Those are non-rechargeables.
Oh.
You put a rechargeable battery in there and then you try and put it on the charger or you check it, it's going to be like way depleted.
Oh, man.
Particularly if you are staying overnight somewhere, put your battery, put your phone, put all that stuff on your person. Like put it in a jacket pocket that's inside your sleeping bag with you. And that'll keep it warm, and then you won't have battery problems. So tip on that one.
Nice.
Lots of layers. Particularly, this is a tip for soda. And this may be more of a California thing, because I'm assuming. No, you know what? No, I take that back. We're just going to go in reverse order. So when you're in California, and it's, you know, spring, summer, even winter to a certain degree, you may hit the trailhead and start hiking. You're burning, you know, you're getting your heart rate up, you're heating up. You will layer down as you're hiking. Then when you get to your final location, you're maybe a little sweaty. The wind starts coming over the hillside and you get zapped of your warmth. So you need to layer up when you hit the hillside or the summit. The reverse could happen though if you are in a cold climate. If you're layered up and hiking, you're building up heat inside.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get to your location and you stop moving, that heat is going to make you sweat.
Yes.
Sweating, not great. So again, synthetic clothing, there's another tip. You may need to like take a layer off to equalize your temperature before throwing the layer back on, particularly if you were exerting yourself with hiking and whatnot. Bring an extra hat. And I hike in usually a sun hat, something with a brim. But then when I get to the summit, I usually swap that out for something that's warmer.
No, you're really packing in some things here.
No, these are all lightweight things. You can get like super lightweight stuff. The reason for that is, this is me. Again, this is me personally. I'll hike to a summit. I'll be exerting myself. I'll get to a spot and then I'll just stop. You stop. You pull the radio out. You stop exerting physically and then you start thinking. You're concentrating to work the radio. So you start to... your body temperature will drop.
Mm-hmm.
So I generally layer up, throw a hat on, I'll throw gloves on even, depending on how cold it is, and just work that way. So keep that in mind. Warm drinks, coffee. I love having a cup of coffee when I get to the summit. It feels like a little bit of a
glow wine.
You know, a little glow wine. A big glass bottle full of full of glow wine.
No, you put it in a thermos.
Oh, God. The thermoses are so heavy. So heavy.
Okay.
That's unneeded weight.
All right, you're the one who carries around a hydro flask everywhere, but that's
I don't hike with a hydro flask. I would never hike with a hydro
flask.
What
do you hike with?
Smart water bottles.
Oh, that explains a lot. That's why before every hike, you're like not eco-friendly.
I've reused the same smart water bottles for like 3 years.
That can't be true because I've thrown out into the recycling.
You've thrown out my smart water bottles?
I put them in the recycling, yeah. I've dumped out the water and put them in the recycling.
That's not what that's for.
So that's how I know you're not using the same bottle.
I have like three of them. I've got a 2 liter and then 2 1 liters.
Do you?
Yeah.
Where are they then?
I was wondering where some of those went. That's very frustrating. Don't throw those out. There's a reason I keep those. But I do like to make coffee when I get to the summit. There are a myriad of ways to make coffee on the field, which is outside of ham radio. I won't talk about that. I did do a video on the Nanopresso, which I like. I have a new video coming out on another coffee product that is relatively lightweight that you can carry out in the field with a cook kit, really just to boil water and make coffee. Yeah. So,
really a creature comfort during your field
warm
day.
Warm drink when you get to the summit if it's cold? Yeah, absolutely. It's a reward for the effort that you put in. Throwing a little bit of weight into that area is not a big deal to me because it's like you earned it.
Well, it's because you really love coffee too.
I do. Extra water. When it's colder, it's you can, I guess, get away with a little bit less. Maybe there's even snow on the ground. You can consider boiling snow when you get to the summit. No, it's fine.
It's like animals pee on the ground.
What do you think the outdoors is like? It's just everything is piss snow? You piss know it's dirt. Piss snow.
Piss and dirt.
If you know it's piss snow. You can find
unless
snow.
It's like freshly, like...
It's fine most of the time. Particularly I don't think that's true. Like on a trail.
So I did some research on how to make this snow maple candy.
Oh, jeez. Well, that's my next tip is make snow maple candy. Bring your jug of maple syrup.
They said it was very important that you only use fresh fallen snow.
Yeah, because it's loosely packed.
Sure.
That's not because it's cleaner.
Sure. Sure.
That's why it's not settled.
No, I'm fairly certain it's for cleanliness.
I don't know about that. Let's see. Mini band chart or band plan if you are not an extra. If you're a general, consider adding a band spacing chart for where you have privileges to transmit. Keep that in mind. Multiple ways to get to the summit if hiking. And again, this is more of an issue when it's wintertime, particularly if there's snow on the trail. You may not see the trail. Mm-hmm. So you could have to rely on your GPS or a map specifically to get to where you're going. And if we go back to what I was talking about with your battery situation, if your phone gets too cold, it may not work. So you may need to back up to a backup kind of thing.
Dude, how cold is it that you're expecting electronics to just stop working?
I've had batteries on GoPros stop working at 40 degrees.
Wow. That is really cold.
That's not that cold.
40 degrees.
But I'm saying I have had GoPro batteries that were fully charged. You get out there. I brought like three of them, and one first night was gone, second night, gone.
Wow.
Yeah, so no, it's a thing. That happens.
You should maybe keep your batteries close to your body.
That's what I said. consider ham hacks. All right. So, wait, no, that was a... What is that? Anyway, that's not part of this list. I don't know
how
that got
in. You bring some ham hocks to feed yourself.
Some ham hocks. That's it. There's generally this concept, too. I would say this is a bit of a like faith in the radio kind of thing. If you put your antenna up and you hear noise and you potentially hear signals out there, and this is like before you're going to activate, like you're trying to get that first contact before you activate, I second guess myself a lot, and I have to remind myself, like, no, just keep at it. You've tested this antenna before. Something will happen. You'll get a contact. You just have to kind of be persistent because your mind thing, you'll try a little bit, and you're like, oh, I've got to do something.
So in the words of George Michael, you got to have faith.
You got to have faith. You got to kick a jukebox and then ascend that summit. So yeah, that's a big thing is you get your antenna up, you know it works, you tested it out, just keep going with it. Now, the last one here, have a second mode of communication to spot as needed. Spotting is specifically important for summits on the air and parks on the air. Summits on the air, it's more of a big deal. Parks on the air, you generally might have cell phone coverage, but for summits on the air, you need to spot what frequency you're going to be on and the time to tell people that you're here right now. Let's make a contact because it goes to a website and it tells people this guy is on this mountain. Go make a contact with him.
Let your shack slots know.
Let the shack slots know. Because if you don't have that, your QRP, you're on a mountain. You basically have to make a contact, hopefully with someone that understands what soda is and then make a spot for you. A little bit, you know, you're giving it up to chance.
Okay.
At that point. There's generally a couple of ways to do it. You can use the website if you have cell phone coverage. You can use SMS. You can send a text message. Like if you have not enough signal to get data, but you've got like that tiny bar that will let you do a text message.
Okay.
You can do a text message that will send out the soda spot. There's a phone number to do it. And you just have to send a properly.
I always find that when you're low signal, the text messages don't get out as easily as voice call.
No, that's the opposite. I've never experienced that.
Really?
Yeah.
It's weird.
Okay. And then lastly, the reverse beacon network. And this is specifically for the CW folks in the crowd. So if you do CQ soda. So CQ soda somewhere in your call, or your call follows it along with the information for whatever soda summit you're activating. The reverse beacon network will take that and it will repost it as a spot a lot of times. So that's a very good incentive to get CW or learn Morse code, because then that's all you need. You can go out in the field with your Morse code radio, send out a CQ soda with your call sign, and boom, that's all it takes to get on the air, on the spots for doing summits on the air.
Okay.
So there's some ideas, more gear to buy, I guess. Yeah, and
if you've got some ideas of what could be added to that.
Yeah, send an email to Leia.
Yeah.
Leia@gmail.com.
Awesome.
Leia, you started playing with Play-Doh. What are you doing?
I was just getting fidgety.
Oh.
The list was so long.
Send Leia to email. Was the list too long? I thought the list was great. If this was like one of my live streams, there would be slides with pictures and stuff.
Sure.
For those like yourself that have a hard time keeping focus.
I'm actually just trying to figure out what body part Ben is going to do Play-Doh surgery on.
With your dark black Play-Doh that you got?
Yeah.
What part of the body is dark black, Leia?
A diseased part. He's got to cut the tumor out.
So you bought what looks like a pint of Play-Doh.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I bought like 30 pounds of Play-Doh in various colors, including skin tones.
Do you think if a human had a pint of black substance in them that they would survive the surgery?
Yeah, sure.
That's a lot of cancer, I'm assuming.
It's not going to be the whole amount.
Oh, I see. This is there's multiple surgeries for future. Okay, yeah. Got it. Very good. This is that YouTube post you saw with the C-section.
Yeah.
The video of the mom showing the child how the C-section works.
Yeah, but we're not going to do C-section first. We're going to start with something probably like much more simple.
Brain surgery.
Like a Whipple.
A Whipple. Really? Jeez.
I'm just kidding. You've got to start with the eyes. They're the easiest.
The eyes?
Like in terms of understanding the structures of the eye. You start with the eye.
I heard a weird medical fact.
You start with cataracts.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, you start with nose job. That's the easiest. I heard a medical fact that like your body doesn't really know that your eye is there. And there are people who get like a disorder where the body starts attacking the eyeball as a foreign organ.
Because the body's suddenly aware of
the eyeball? Yeah. And it starts like attacking the eyeballs and they go blind and they like have to get their eyeballs removed.
What?
Yeah. Yeah. It's a real thing. Wow. Upbeat fact to drop out on.
So Merry Christmas, everybody.
Merry Christmas.
I hope your body continues to be unaware of your eyeballs.
Yeah, when you put it that way. Well, I hope everybody comes out to the live stream tomorrow.
Today.
See, I screwed tomorrow up the podcast. Today. And for everybody else, you know, have a really good week. I know a lot of you are on break right now. I myself am on break, so I'm trying to have as much relaxation as I can.
Must really be nice.
But I'm still, but I am putting out and working on more videos than I normally do. So that's fun. Hopefully there's going to be live stream and then two videos next week. So that should be awesome. There's already two videos this week.
Wow.
Yeah. In addition to the live stream. So, do you have anything else to wrap up here?
No. No, that's great.
Okay.
Just looking up things about eyeballs now.
Are you really looking this up right now? Are you fact checking me? live?
No, I'm not going to do that.
Okay. I think I'm right, but I could be wrong. We'll find out in the emails next week.
Yeah.
I'm sure someone's going to comment.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, that'll do it for the Ham Radio Crash Course podcast again this week. If you haven't on the YouTube side of the house, make sure to subscribe and join us on the Facebook group and the Discord. We would appreciate it. Until the next time we talk to you, 73.
73.